Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I believe, Father, that it speaks to us today. And Father, I pray that you would just reveal truth to us. Help us, Lord, to understand. I pray, Father, that we would have a hearing ear. Lord, not that we would acquire knowledge for knowledge's sake, but Father, that we would have a hearing ear to receive, to obey, to live by your word. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in the book of Nehemiah. If you want to go ahead and go, turn to Nehemiah chapter 5. And Nehemiah is bringing about a great victory. It's a great work. In fact, he mentions it as a great work. It's a great work that he's doing with the people of God because it's helping people. It's not just a great work because, you know, they're completing some great architectural thing and rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. It's a great work because it's a work that God has called him to. And as they fulfill that work, it is a blessing to the people, and God is glorified in it. So it's a great work. And as he's doing this great work in fulfilling what God has put on his heart to do, we talked about last week how that he encountered opposition in chapter 4 and how he overcame that opposition, how the people overcame opposition. Well, we're going to pick it up at verse 1 of chapter 5. And there was a great outcry of the people and their wives against their Jewish brethren. We're going to talk about dealing with strife. Notice the key word here in verse 1 where it says against. Against their brethren. Oh, there's a great outcry of the people because I didn't get this thermostat. I just realized we're still freezing, right? Little things. The people overcame their outside opposition, but now there's a conflict within. You know, the enemy brings opposition against us. And when that doesn't work, then he brings out his big weapon. I'm telling you, what the enemy has that works so often against the people of God, against the church. Listen, the gates of hell can't stop the church. But strife weakens it and cripples it, hinders it. And not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, understand, but the local church. Listen, there are a lot of local churches that have been destroyed by strife. There are a lot of families that have been destroyed by strife. There are businesses that are destroyed by strife. There are governments that are destroyed by strife. I'm telling you, it is a powerful tool of Satan against the people of God. And here for Nehemiah, they're building this wall and doing this great work, accomplishing what God wants them to do. And all of a sudden, something has happened that could bring the work to a screeching halt. They have strife. They are against one another. It'll stop the work of God. I'm telling you, strife will stop the work of God. It'll hinder the spirit. It'll keep people from being able to minister to one another, much less to reach out to the world. Some people believe that Christians should never, ever disagree about anything. We call those people non-Christians. They have an unrealistic view of what spiritual unity means. But you know what? I've seen that same mentality in the church a lot of the time. people think that unity means that we're all going to like the same music. We're all going to think just alike about everything. We're all going to agree on every doctrine. I want you to understand that attitude's not in the Bible. Well, we got to have... Well, let me just go ahead. We got to have 14 million denominations because we don't agree on everything. In fact, even within the church, we got to have... Well, I really don't mean this as ugly as what it may sound. I don't mean to be putting anybody else down, but we got to have a old-fashioned, traditional way it used to be service, and then we got to have a a little bit more contemporary. We do a few choruses and a few of this and a little of that, kind of a mixed thing. And then we got to have the really wild service with the flashing lights and the smoke and the screeching guitars. And because we can't agree on music, so we can't worship together. And that's a little thing. Then you start talking about doctrines and people go like this, real quick. I'm telling you, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again because it just makes the point the best. You don't even agree with yourself. Because some of you believe something today you didn't believe a year ago. And especially if you go back 10 years ago, your beliefs have changed a whole lot. So you're conflicted with your own self, much less being in agreement with everybody on everything. That's just crazy. Let me tell you what spiritual unity is. It's when we're all going the same direction, trying to accomplish a common goal and purpose. They were there trying to build that wall to the glory of God. That was their purpose, and they had to be in unity about that. I'm telling you, as a church, we got to be in unity about the Great Commission and fulfilling the cause of Christ. You can sit and argue about everything all you want to. That's the work of the devil. I'm telling you, that strife is not from God. It is the work of Satan. And there will always be people who, in the name of God, cause strife and division. So, I'm standing up for what's right. I'm telling you, when you bring strife and division, that's not God. No, the Bible says it very plainly that kind of work, that kind of wisdom is of the devil. But Nehemiah knew that he had to turn aside from the work and deal with the strife. When there's strife, you can't just ignore it. Y'all remember last week we talked about how you can't just ignore the devil? Well, one of the foolish things that people do a lot of the time is just ignore strife. Like it'll just eventually just go away. But what so often happens is that strife festers and turns into something bigger. And I'm not saying that you should make a mountain out of a molehill. A lot of times there's just little bumps in the road and somebody got upset. And you don't always need to go address that. But a lot of the time we make the opposite mistake where we know there's a situation and we know there's strife and there are relationships that need to be reconciled, and yet we don't do that. And Nehemiah did. He knew that the work was going to come to an end unless he stopped to deal with this situation. It's easier to conquer and subdue an enemy who attacks us than it is to forgive and restore a friend who hurts us. Psalms 55, 12 and 14, the psalmist puts it, well, in the NIV, let me read it to you from the NIV. It's just so plain and clear. He says, if an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were raising himself against me, I could hide from him. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship as we walked with the throng at the house of God. You see, that hurt, when it comes from your brother, oh, then it really hurts. I'm telling you, strife can really hurt. So many people end up out of church because they got hurt. So many great works are stopped or slowed down because of strife and the hurt that goes with it. Now think about this. Jesus, on his last night on earth, he prayed. In John 17, the Bible tells us he prayed for you and me. And what did he pray for us? You can think of all your different doctrines that you want to think are important. Let me tell you what he prayed for us, that we'd be one. That's it. What he was concerned about for the church down through the ages, he said for these and those that are going to believe, he said that they might be one. That's what he was praying about. He's praying that the church would be one. I'm telling you, church, our unity is so important. We can't allow strife in our midst. And I want you to understand tonight that, as far as I know, we don't have any real strife in this church. And I thank the Lord for that. But I'm telling you, we have to always be alert, be ready, and not allow that to ever get started. Don't ever allow the enemy to get us involved in strife. It'll stop the work of God. Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. We need to take his word for it, all right? A house divided against itself cannot stand. We need to see what the root cause of strife is and deal with it. Now, as I keep saying almost every week, tonight, we're just going to stay focused on this passage in Nehemiah. I mean, we might look at a few other scriptures, but my point is there are a lot of other principles in the scripture that deal with strife, but tonight we're just going to look at how Nehemiah dealt with strife and the principles that caused the strife here in Nehemiah. In fact, I think that this one principle, the cause of strife, I think you'll find this one is almost always present when there's strife. Here it is. There's selfishness. There's selfishness. When there's strife, there's selfishness. That strife is caused by selfishness. Now, there's some other things that have a play in that, and, you know, only by pride comes contention. You know, there's pride involved. Of course, that kind of goes hand in hand with selfishness, doesn't it? But, you know, there's some other principles. A critical judgmental spirit brings strife and other things that can bring strife. But I'm telling you, there's almost always this selfishness that we see here in Nehemiah chapter 5. So let's read, begin from verse 2. Let's go on. There were those who said, we, our sons and our daughters, are many. Therefore, let us get grain that we may eat and live. There were also some who said, we have mortgaged our lands, our vineyards and houses that we may buy grain because of the famine. There were also those who said, we borrowed money for the king's tax in our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. And indeed, we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves. And some of our daughters have been brought into slavery. It is not in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. Now, what's happened here is because the city of Jerusalem is in ruins, the people are powerless to help themselves. We think we've had some tough economic times. Theirs was devastating. You know, I'm just going to throw this out to you. When somebody goes through a difficult time financially, it is not always because they're dumb and lazy. There are a lot of people in our country going through a difficult financial time. And some of it is just because of the economy and the situation. Now, we understand some biblical principles about tithing and being a good steward and working. And certainly those things bring you out of that financial difficulty. It will get you through in victory over that time of difficulty, no matter what's going on in our economy. But I just want to make the point to you that these people were in a dire need, not because they had gone out and run up their credit cards buying big screen TVs. They were trying to pay for food and stay alive. And, you know, just the necessities of life had gotten them into such a situation. Now, you know, if you really want to trace this back, it goes back a long time back to the sin and rebellion of the people of God that had gone on years and years before. But now these people are trying to rebuild the wall, and there's this outcry because a lot of the oppression was because of their own brothers. And so they were against one another. It was their own brothers who were charging them this exorbitant interest, this usury. It was their own brothers who were enslaving them, taking their possessions, taking their houses, taking their children as slaves. It was their own brothers doing this to them. You talk about some strife. I mean, they were about to have an absolute upheaval. The people are against one another. What caused the conflict? Selfishness. I want to read to you from James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. First, I'm going to read it from the King James. It says, "If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where there's envying and strife, there's confusion and every evil work." Now we'll read it from the New King James. "If you have bitter envying and self-seeking in your hearts," isn't that amazing? The King James, just a, you know, trying to make things a little bit more modern language here, instead of using the word strife, uses the word self-seeking. I'm telling you, where there's strife, you can always find some selfishness. Self-seeking in your hearts. "Do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envying and self-seeking exist, there's confusion and every evil thing are there." Now, in Nehemiah's day, this selfishness, this self-seeking manifested itself as greed, as abuse of power and control. But I'm telling you, wherever you find strife, there's selfishness going on. If you've got strife in your home, I'm telling you, there's some selfishness going on. And so often, that selfishness has to do with some kind of power, somebody trying to manipulate to get their way. Whether it's a Christian husband. Christian husbands are the worst about this, all right? Here it comes. "I'm the head of my house. You got to do what I say." Really? How's that working for you? I'm telling you, what you got in your house, strife, conflict. You don't have peace in that home. Listen, being the head of your house doesn't mean that you are the ruling despot, that everybody, that you dictate to everybody what they're supposed to do. If that's what you think, you understand nothing about what it means to be the head of your home. That's not the kind of head that Jesus is over the church, is it? Well, I'm preaching good right now. You husbands are really quiet, and you ladies, I'm surprised y'all aren't saying amen for me. But, you know, I want you to understand that you see that authority and that power in the same way that the nobles and the governors, those in authority and those that had the control of the money in Jerusalem. They abused that authority and they mistreated the people in their selfishness, their greed. And I'm telling you, it can happen the same way in a Christian home when the husband abuses his authority and his power, and the end result of that is there's strife, because that husband is just using his authority for selfishness, to have his way. Not doing what's best for his family, but just what he wants. Well, we'll pick on the ladies just a little bit. I'm going to move real quick through this one. I'm just going to kind of throw it out there and keep going, all right? How about the woman who uses sex as a way to control, to manipulate, as a power over her husband? Amen. As a way to say, if you don't do this... Well, help them, Jesus. How about the teenager who, because they're just so stinking selfish, they rebel, they just do what they want to do, how they want to do, and it causes constant strife in the home. Where did this strife come from? I'm telling you, it is because there is selfishness. We got to deal with that selfishness. Here in Jerusalem, those in authority with money and those with the power were taking advantage of others. They were acting just like the pagan nations around them. Listen, it might have been legal, but it wasn't right. In the New King James, he says, what you're doing, Nehemiah says to them, what you're doing is not good. In the King James, he says, what you're doing is not right. What you're doing is not right. And you know what? The world might say it's right. Are you hearing me? See, you just back up and you just start taking those same things we talked about. The world might say it's right. Other people might say it's right. But that don't make it right. And let's go on here. Now, verse 6 tells us, he says, I became very angry when I heard their outcry and these words. Sometimes we need to get angry. We need to be angry about the wrongs, the injustices in our world, the abuse of power, people being mistreated. It's not right for us to just be quiet and not even take note. But listen to me now. There's a time to get angry, but we have to take heed to the scripture that says, be angry and sin not. Verse 7 says, after serious thought, after careful consideration. You see, Nehemiah didn't just get mad and run out and let them have it. You know what you get when you do that? More strife. You're just throwing fuel on the fire. But it says, after serious thought. You see, the Bible tells us in James 1, 19 and 20, it says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Listen, we have to be slow to speak and slow to wrath, because our wrath doesn't work, doesn't produce God's righteousness. Now, there's a time to get angry, but we need to handle that anger in a way that brings about the desired result. And so Nehemiah, after serious thought, he deals with this situation. And this is what it says. He says, I rebuked the nobles and rulers and said to them, each of you is exacting usury from his brother. So I called a great assembly against them, and I said to them, according to our ability, we have redeemed our Jewish brethren who were sold to the nations. Now indeed, will you even sell your brethren, or should they be sold to us? And they were silenced and found nothing to say. Then I said, what you are doing is not good. Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? I also with my brethren, my servants, and am lending them money and grain. Please let us stop this usury. Restore now to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive groves, their houses, also a hundredth of the money and the grain, the new wine and the oil that you have charged them. Listen, he tells them, you got to make it right. This wasn't against their enemies that they did these things, but it was against their brothers. Nehemiah used the word brothers or brethren four times as he rebuked them. And I'll tell you, We need to treat people out in this world. We need to treat people right. We need to love our enemies. But the Bible says we're to do good to all people, especially those of the household of faith. We got to treat each other right. We got to do right by one another. And when we don't, realize we're treating our brothers wrong. They were charging them a high interest, taking their land, their possessions, enslaving them. You know, the Word of God tells them very plainly not to charge usury. And yet they were doing it. Now, I just want to make the point to you that what's right in the eyes of the world is not necessarily right in the eyes of God. And we got to remember that that's our standard. So much of the strife and the problems that go on in our world, in families and in the church, I'm telling you, it is the end result of bringing the principles of the world in. And we allow that selfishness to operate because we're living by the world's standards instead of God's standards. Listen, we can take care of all selfishness right here, right now, with one verse, one simple principle from Jesus. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's done. It's over. You just treat people the way you want to be treated. If you were them, how would you want to be treated? You do that. You do that in reality. I'm telling you, you've gotten rid of the selfishness. See, we just treat people the way that we would want to be treated. The selfishness goes, the strife goes. Oh, but so often we fall into that same mentality of the world. That we want what we want. The world's most valid criticism of the church is that we allow strife. I want to read it to you. I mentioned it earlier, but John 17, 20 and 21 says, Jesus says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Listen, that the world may believe that you sent me. Listen, Jesus prayed that we would be one so the world would believe that he really was the Son of God. How the enemy uses that strife to disrupt the work of the kingdom. And you see, Nehemiah, part of his rebuke to them was that you're bringing reproach on the people of God in front of the nations because of the way you're treating your brethren. And church, we got to be careful that we treat each other right so we don't bring reproach on the church of the Lord Jesus and on the Lord's work. Listen, it's when we love one another as Jesus loved us that the world knows that we really are his disciples. So if we want them to know that Jesus is real, we got to be one. We got to have unity. We want them to know that we really are followers of Christ. We got to love one another as Christ loved us. If the cause of strife is selfishness, how do you get rid of it? Unselfishness. Boy, this is a simple message, isn't it? It's going to be quick, too. I'm almost done. Listen, we know what the problem is, then we know what the cure is. We got to be unselfish. So this is what happened. They said, we will restore it. We will require nothing from them. We will do as you say. You see, Nehemiah rebuked them and they repented. I wish it always worked like that. Because I can tell you as a pastor, it doesn't usually work that way. Got two people going at it. They're mad. They got problems. They got strife. He said, she said, all this stuff going on. And you can tell them, you need to stop doing that. You need to start doing this. And you know what the end result is? It's seldom repentance. No, usually it's justification. They want to defend what they're doing and justify what they're doing. And they start talking about my rights and I'm not going to be treated this way. And it sounds just like the world. Listen to me. whenever you start thinking and talking about my rights and I deserve, and listen, you're allowing that old pride, that old selfishness to do a work on you. No, when we humble ourselves and we let God have His way in us, I tell you, it opens the door for reconciliation, for peace. It opens the door for the Holy Spirit to come in and work in that relationship. So they restored. They said they would make it right, and they did. Let's keep reading. Then I called the priest and required an oath from them that they would do according to his promise. Then I shook out the fold of my garment and said, so may God shake out each one man from his house and his property who does not perform his promise or this promise. Even thus may he be shaken out and emptied. And all the assembly said amen and praised the Lord. Then the people did according to this promise. I'm telling you, this situation was reconciled. It was quick and fixed. How? Because they repented of their selfishness. They decided that they would do what was right. They're going to treat each other right. And let me tell you, you want to get the strife out? Just decide you're going to treat each other right. You're going to treat each other the way that you would want to be treated. Nehemiah was a great example in all of this. He was a great example of a leader who truly wanted what was best for the people. He didn't use his power for selfish gain. He was a strong leader. Nehemiah was a very forceful leader. In fact, I think in a lot of ways, people would resent that leadership style that Nehemiah had nowadays. But he was a very strong, very forceful, powerful leader. And yet, he never used that power for his own selfish gain. He didn't use that power. He was never forceful just to have his way. He was forceful to have God's way. He was forceful to see the work of God done. He was forceful in this situation to see what was right be done. But he never used it. He never abused that power. He was never selfish with it. Well, let's read. We're going to read to the end of the chapter. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year until the 32nd year of King Artaxerxes, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the governor's provisions, but the former governors who were before me laid burdens on the people and took from them bread and wine besides 40 shekels of silver. Yes, even their servants bore rule over the people, but I did not do so because of the fear of God. Well, what a key that is, the fear of God. That was one of the things that he rebuked the nobles for. He says, you need to fear God. You see, if we live in the fear of God, it makes a difference in how we treat other people. God is always watching in every situation, whether you're at work, at your home, at church, driving down the freeway. He's watching. Verse 16, indeed, I also continued the work on this wall, and we did not buy any land. All my servants were gathered there for the work, and at my table were 150 Jews and rulers besides those who came to us from the nations around us. Now that which was prepared daily was one ox and six choice sheep. Also fowl were prepared for me once every 10 days in abundance of all kinds of wine. Yet in spite of this, I did not demand the governor's provisions because the bondage was heavy on this people. Remember me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. You know, it almost sounds prideful in a way, but I don't believe it was at all. He just simply acknowledged and said how he had been living, that the way that he had lived and the way he had conducted himself, he had treated the people of God right. He had been good to them. And he asked the Lord to remember him for good. Now, I want you to get this. You see, he put his trust in God. Here's where so much of that selfishness plays out. We think that we got to demand our way. We got to fight for ourselves and we got to have... Listen, trust the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're the boss or the employee. There needs to be some trusting God. God is the one who ultimately settles the accounts and makes it right. Nehemiah knew that God was faithful and that God would reward him. We need to know the same thing. In fact, I want to address this now. If you're dealing with a boss or a spouse or someone else who is mistreating you, someone who is being selfish and you're crying out, let me tell you, cry out to God. Ultimately, He's the one who can bring your deliverance. Listen, somebody's being mean to you, I can tell you stories. If somebody's being mean to you, you better pray for God's mercy for them, because sooner or later, God will deal with them. He is able to either change their heart or move them out. I'm telling you, but God is able to take care of you if you'll trust Him. He really is. Now I want to close with this. There really is a direct correlation between the effectiveness of our work, of our ministries, and the things that we do for God, and how we treat each other. There's a direct correlation. And you know, whether we are building a church, and I'm talking about people, or a church as far as a building, listen, it's all about people. So we can't ever allow the work to become bigger than the people. I'm telling you, it's really all about the people. With church, we got to love one another. If we don't do anything else, if we don't accomplish anything else, we need to love one another. We need to walk in unity, embrace one another, help one another. Don't mistreat each other, but treat each other right. Don't be selfish, but always be looking out for the interests of our brothers and sisters. Amen. Amen. I want you to stand with me as we go to the Lord in prayer tonight. You know, I realize that not one of us is that selfish person. Have y'all thought about that yet? I mean, as I was preaching this message, probably every one of you thinking about some selfish people that cause strife, you know. But it's not any of us, right? It's that other person. But I just want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Be unselfish. You may say, well, they don't deserve it. They're selfish. Listen, you be the one. You be the one to forgive first. You be the one to treat them the way you want to be treated first. Amen. You do it by faith. Some of you say, well, I've been doing it. Keep doing it by faith. I'm telling you, God is faithful. And as you do that, it opens the door for the Holy Spirit to work in that situation. But when you get at odds and you begin to be selfish and listen, you're keeping the Lord out and you're allowing Satan to work in that situation. So I just encourage you tonight, make a choice. Make a choice. I'm so impressed with these who were doing wrong, how they just repented. They just said, we're going to do like you said. I just encourage you, if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you about something, just do what He says. Just do what He says. Just repent. Just change. Just do what He says. Get the strife out. How do you do that? Get rid of that selfishness. Amen. Let's pray. And as we do, let's let the Holy Spirit do a work in us, every one of us. Father, I just thank You for the Holy Spirit that reigns and rules in our hearts. And Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would just reveal to us areas, Lord, where we have been selfish and mistreated others, Lord, that we might repent, that we might treat one another the way You'd have us to, Father. Father, I pray that there be reconciliations in the body. reconciliations and marriages. I pray, Lord, that these Christian employers and employees, Lord, will be an example to this world of the love of God. Lord, they'll not be like the world and be a reproach, but they'll be an example to this world of what real love is, or what real Christianity is. And Father, I just pray that you show us, Lord, what we need to do to bring peace wherever we are, that we'll be a peacemaker, a child of God. I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, I pray you show us as fathers and husbands how to conduct our families, Lord, how to lead. I pray you show these Christian women and mothers and wives, Lord, how they're to treat their families. Oh, and Father, in this body, show us how to love one another. I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for what you're doing in our midst, Lord. And as unbelievers come into this body, Lord, that they'll see that it's real. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We don't have no strife. We are unselfish people. Amen. 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 Lord bless you.